Hello and welcome to the Iraq Football Podcast. It's your host, Hassan and Bilal. And guys, I know it's been a while and I do apologize, but a lot has happened and we are here to delve into the crazy yet entertaining world of Iraqi football. I'm here with Mo. Mo, thank you for joining us.
No, pleasure.
So here with Ali. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, guys. So, firstly, before we actually get into the topics, just to explain what's happened recently. So those of you who've been following me, we've been working on a series on YouTube that has gone behind the backgrounds of the going on in a club called Örebro in Sweden. That was with Ahmed Yasin, Lucas Schlemon, and Jilwan. And that's taken up a lot of our time. At the same time, we've been growing exponentially over the last year or so on social media. Recently, we've hit around 85,000 followers across all platforms. So we've kind of really been focused on that. And my recommendation to you guys listening at home is make sure you're following us on Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, because that's really where we're doing our so-called lives, which is kind of similar to the podcast that we've been doing. Usually these live shows on Instagram especially are joined by several players and they follow an interview format. So that's why you've probably noticed we've not been putting out that many podcasts. We will try to get more content out on the podcast over the next couple of months, but make sure you are following us on social media. But without further ado, let's jump into what's happened recently with the Asian Cup and the recent draws. So Iraq have been joined by Japan, who were the top-seeded team. Iraq were the next-seeded team. Then we were withdrawn with Vietnam and Indonesia. So we're here to discuss this before moving on to other topics. Ali, tell me a quick kind of roundup of your thoughts regarding this draw.
Yeah, I think the draw was going quite well until we got the Poland team. In general, I think, any other team other than Japan, we would have had a good chance of finishing first. The fact that we've drawn the hosts isn't favourable. But overall, we should be going through our group. But all in all, we can test ourselves against the favourites of Asia and see how we stack up against the, let's say, so-called minnows of the continent.
Before we ask Mo for his thoughts, the format has changed slightly for this upcoming Asian Cup. So previously it was the first and second teams that go through to the knockout stages. This time it's going to be the first team, the second team. And if I'm not mistaken, guys, it's the top four third teams as well, right?
Yeah.
The last 16, then the quarterfinals, semis, and then the finals. So I think there is a big chance for us to actually go through to the later rounds. But the route to the final will not be easy. There's a lot of good teams, I think, and the general standard of football in Asia is improving. Mo, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this.
I don't think it's the hardest group in the competition. I would wish for better, but in general, if you want to go far in the competition, you have to beat the best, to come out on top. So Vietnam and Indonesia, the styles of play, I don't think we've exactly matched up against them well in the last few years, but we'll see.
I mean, yeah, I think I've got a slightly different opinion on a lot of this. We've been matched up with Indonesia. Indonesia definitely are a team improving, but at the end of the day, they're one of the weakest teams in the whole competition. And if we're not beating Indonesia comfortably, then we have no business even trying to make it into the next round of the Asian Cup. Vietnam are a team that have made huge, huge progress last 5-10 years, for sure. But again, I think we've got a decent history against them when it comes to results. And yeah, on the pitch, we have the more talented players. I think this is a game we should be comfortably winning. The real question is Japan. I'd imagine the new manager, Casas, will be playing for a draw there. But yeah, honestly, people forget how good Iraq are in cups. We tend to actually perform well in cups. Our record in the Asian Cup is quite impressive if you look at it. We're generally always in the next rounds. Most often than not, we actually get to the semifinals. Very rarely we make it to the finals and win it. It's only happened the one time, but we tend to make it through the group stages. So I think this is a good opportunity. It's not the worst group, as Mo said. Could have been better, but at the end of the day, if you're trying to win the Asian Cup, you need to be there and performing against the best teams like Japan. But yeah, I think we play for a draw there, and against Indonesia and Vietnam, we need to see comfortable wins. Ideally, we come out on top. If we don't come out on top, we might end up second, which actually might make it quite difficult for us to in the route to the final. Guys, we've looked at the possible route to the final. What did you guys think of it?
Well, it's like you can contain most of the pot one teams, so and it will be tough, but we'll see.
I mean, I was looking now at the potential route. I think if we finish second, we might end up facing South Korea in the last 16, then Iran in the quarterfinal, then in the semi-final, Qatar, and then Japan again in the final. That's a tough route. But yes. I mean, honestly, on paper, with the right additions to the team, with the right call-ups, I really think we can actually do well in this tournament. The only issue really is, do we have enough time to make these changes? Do we have enough time to implement the new expat players arriving? I don't know. That's my only real concern. There have been quite a few recent additions that Casas has tried to bring to the team. I'm aware that Casas has highlighted some areas that he's concerned about. The centre-backs being number one priority. The right-back area as well as another. And up front, where we look quite weak. So we're bringing in different players. It's going to take time to make them fit the system. It's going to take a lot of friendly games to implement Casas' style of play. But yeah, do we have enough time until our first game is the 5th or the 9th of January?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So it's not long. It's not long.
You've got like four to five international breaks left, like to pick a team.
Is it that much? We'll compete. We have one in Jan, and we have one in June. I think we're only playing Colombia there.
June, then you got September.
One September,
which we go to Jordan to play that tournament, and then you'll have October and November to prepare. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
you don't have. It's not ideal, but
yeah. So I think Well, we're going to have to just wait and see what happens with this. But it is going to be tough. I think the biggest challenge is going to be actually getting our team ready more than the other opposition teams being particularly good. Because on paper, if you look at like some of the players we have, I think we can go head-to-head with Japan. I mean, if you look at our attack, for example, Ali Hamadi, who's in the form of his life, and we'll come and talk about him a little bit at the end of the podcast. Zidane, Kevin Yaqub, Yusuf Amin, to name just a few. We have serious players, but can we gel them all in? Can we turn those players into a team? And that's always going to be a challenge. So, yeah, it's a matter of waiting. Hopefully those players all remain fit and can get a lot of game time leading up to the Asian Cup. And, yeah, Ali, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I agree with most of you and Mo saying. I mean, looking at the route to the final, I'd say it would be ideal to come out first. That was the third best of the groups. It might be Syria, Jordan, a Bahrain, a Thailand, rather than, for example, facing Korea, who aren't in, you know, the best shape at the moment. They've got a relatively new coach, new on the continent, who said in his interview that he's going to be doing his homework. So it doesn't seem like he's really familiar with the Asian game, if that makes sense. And that might be in our benefit if we do come out second and we face Korea most likely. Another thing Tessa said is he's already said that Japan are going to, you know, top the group. So he's put the pressure on Japan and he's put the pressure off us in the sense that we have nothing to lose when we go up against them. And I think that really helps Iraq when they're not the favourites, when they're more of the underdog, because they can go out, play without any pressure, implement Kassas' style, and having nothing to lose, really. So it'll be interesting, like I said, especially with Japan, you know, beating Spain and Germany, if I'm mistaken, in the World Cup. But we all saw their performances that they put on. So that will really show us which level we're at, really. So that's more of a, you know, if you can think of it on a positive note.
Yeah. So as you touched on the other teams, we said Jurgen Klinsmann's going to take over South Korea. It's not just South Korea that are in like a transitional phase, just like us. Qatar have just appointed Carlos Queiroz. Then you got Saudi, who don't have a manager currently. And then you have
Iran.
Iran just appointed a new local manager. So it's not, I don't think it's just us in the transitional phase leading up to the Asian Cup. So I'd say that's a benefit for me. But,
All right. Who are your three favourites going into the tournament? Who, like, if you're going to bet money, who were the three teams you'd say they're favourites to win it?
I'd say Japan, Australia, and you can't rule out Korea at all. But
Australia, really?
Their performance at the World Cup was like they 6 points in the group stage, which is not like very common for Asian teams. And they stuck with their manager, and it's a good generation, like upcoming. So,
Ali?
Yeah, I agree with the Australia pick because, like Hamid said, they've had a manager for years now, maybe 4 or 5 years. They've had a lot of stability. I think even the most optimistic Australian fan wouldn't have guessed them, you know, advancing from their group in the World Cup and the results that they had. But they played well as a team. They were difficult to break down against the eventual champions, Argentina. Plus, I think they have a favourable, route to the final, let's say, if they do top their group, which is, it's not an easy group alongside Uzbekistan and Syria, who they have experience playing against. But, you know, considering their condition in regards to or in relation to other teams, yeah, I think they might be one of the favorites alongside definitely Japan, maybe Iran, because they also have a favorable route. Their group is, you know, I don't think they could have asked for a better group. I think they've had the weakest team from pot two, probably the weakest team from pot four. And I expect them to go, you know, sail through the group stage. And yeah, probably Japan, Australia, Iran, probably as favourites.
Yeah, I think it's hard to disagree with what you guys have said. It will be interesting to see who you guys think are going to be the key players from the Iraqi squad in the Asian Cup. So I'm going to ask you this. Who do you think is going to be the top three players that will be like Iraq's kind of main players in the tournament? I'm not saying main players.
Well, I start with Zidane especially. I think loads of people would be expecting a tournament from him because, I mean, he's like come out to be like the star of the team in general. And then you have, like, you always have to say Jalal because he's the captain and he gets us through games. His leadership and yeah. But for striker, I'm hoping Ali Hamadi will drop a big tournament because he's the only proven goal scorer we have right now who's on form for his club. So we'll see. That's why. Ali Hamadi.
Yeah. Ali, who are your three players?
Yeah, I'd like to say Zidane, but I'm not sure that a certain Dutch manager will let him go for the tournament. I don't know what your thoughts.
It's not actually, it's not up to him. In the Asian Cup, it will the teams will have to release the players. The only person who could say no is Zidane himself. He could refuse to come, which obviously is not going to happen. But yeah, a Ten Hag will not have a say in that matter.
Yeah, true. We hope so. We hope things go smoothly. But yeah, for sure, Zidane, undoubtedly, you know, the pivot in the team, as well as probably a fullback. I don't know, there's certain players who might declare for Iraq by then. Hoping they do. And yeah, Ali Alhamadi, of course, he's, like you said, in the form of his life. He's got that pace.
So that's a little bit about the Asian Cup and what we have looking forward to in January. In the meantime, though, Iraq's under 20 team is about to take part in the World Cup being held in Argentina. They did us proud in the recent Asian Cup, going all the way to the final and losing to host Uzbekistan 2-0. However, there was a lot of impressive performances. Ahmad Mohamed's team really made us proud, and we're excited to see how they do in the essentially group of death. We've been grouped with England, Uruguay, and Tunis. No easy games here. Boys, thoughts on the World Cup groups?
Oh, it's, we couldn't have asked for like a worse group, in my opinion. But like, I've watched our team like ever since the Asian Cup, the Spain training camp. Like the improvements have been insane. Like they've added Roman Dalushi, the centre back, which I think when I watch them play, the build up play and the passing is just modern style. And yes, I think our team will put up a good performance, inshallah.
I mean, you mentioned the playing style. This is something I've mentioned, honestly, years ago. That team, Ahmad Mohamed, whatever you want to say about him, he knows how to get his team playing passing football and playing progressive attacking football. And you can see it within the under-20s team. Every time they get the ball, they actually pass the ball well. They move the ball across the pitch very, very smoothly. The players are comfortable technically. Tactically, they're also pretty, pretty solid. But, yeah, we're playing now like serious teams. And to be fair, we say that in the Asian Cup, they beat Iran. They beat Japan. They did really, really well. But the play England, we're talking about a team like star-studded. Uruguay are also no joke. They always perform on the big stage. And the last time we were in the World Cup was actually to Uruguay. We lost, if I'm not mistaken, in 2013. And Tunis, I think the last time we played them, it was a draw as well at the Shabab level. And the one before that, I think we beat them. So we do have a half-decent record against Tunis. But my biggest issue with the Ahmad Mohamed's team is that we seem to be lacking a striker, someone to put the ball in the back of the net, something that Blunt has been very, very good at. And unfortunately, now he's excluded from this tournament due to issues within the FA that I don't really want to go into. But yeah, I find it crazy that we're going to this tournament without him or Amin Alhamawi. Amin Alhamawi, he was invited into the camp in the last second, but the club, Helsingborg, he's their main striker, they refused. So I think we are going to be a bit short going forward. But you did mention it, Mohamed. We do have a solid defence, especially with Adam and Roman kind of central.
Yeah, I agree with Mohamed in terms of probably the most difficult route we have. And the most difficult group. I would have liked us to have an easier group just to see, you know, our quality really shine through rather than, you know, trying to grind out a result, which Iraq under-20s can do both, really, as we saw in the Asian Cup. Yeah, quality throughout the squad, no doubt. Even if we do, I mean, go through as, you know, we should aim to do, again, it's not going to be easy. We're going to be playing the winners of either, if I'm not mistaken, Italy or another difficult team that escapes Brazil. I say difficult. We were 1-0 up against the Brazil, and we outplayed them in the first half. So we can play. There are many players, as you alluded to. Yeah, in terms of Imad Mohamed, I'll be honest. I've never seen an Iraqi local coach, put out his style of play the way we do. Credit to him. Real mature performances, I'd say. For example, when we were a man down against Indonesia in the first match, in the first group game, it didn't seem like we were a man down. We outplayed Indonesia, who were, a strong team coming in to the tournament. Against Uzbekistan hosts, it's always going to be a difficult game. Syria was a bit of a snooze fest, but we got through. We've done our job. Against Iran, again, a mature performance, solid at the back. Didn't give many chances away.
I was going to ask you guys anyway, like, which players, if you're talking to a scout messages you, I'm looking for new talents in Iraq. Give me three players that you would want me to keep an eye on.
The man that has like caught the eyes of many Iraqi fans, especially, is Ali Jarsson, I'd say, who's on the brink, who's been linked to a move to the Belgian league. I'd also say Abdul Razak Qasim, who's the captain.
Don't take my player, Mohammed. Don't take my player.
he's a proper midfielder, passing range. He can shoot, defend. Another player I'd say is Ali Sadiq. I think this guy really impressed me. Like, when you look at him, you wouldn't think he's an Iraqi style player. And then, like, he can control the tempo. Yeah, he can pass. Very good passing range. Very good knowledge of the game. It's, in my opinion, like, these are the three that stick out to me. And then, yeah, that's for me.
No mention of Yusuf Amin?
I say, if you ask me about like players in general, I'd say Yusuf Amin. But you asked for the. I'd say playing in Iraq, these are the three that caught my eye.
Yeah, I think I'm really interested, to be honest with you, to see how Alex does. Alex, yeah. He's had a very, very good season with QPR, with the under-21s captain. Scored quite a few goals. But he's not made his debut yet, unfortunately. And it's going to be interesting to see how he copes at a stage this big, especially against England, and style of play that he's going to be familiar against. So I'm hoping he has a big tournament. Adam Rashid, 16 years old, but he does not look it. He's calm on the ball, short, built like a man already. I'm hoping he has a big tournament. He's been linked with moves to various Serie A clubs in Italy. So I think a big tournament this time around, and those moves are almost certain to happen. And then obviously we mentioned Yusuf Amin, the young final talent. He's recently declared for Iraq, having played for Germany under-21s, where he was one of their best players, really. So a lot of players to look forward to. Like I said, the only real disappointment for me, honestly, was the exclusion of Blunt, who I thought would have been a huge, huge addition to this team. Zidane, as well, should have been there with the team, but I love my side. They're my team. But to see the way Manchester United have treated Zidane with the whole World Cup issue has been quite disappointing. And I have been very disappointed with the whole situation. It's just poor. We had Adnan Darjah fly all the way to England. And one of the reasons is that he was there to convince the manager, Ten Hag, to let Zidane actually join the Iraq squad. That didn't go as planned. The other reason one of the other reasons, he was obviously invited by the English FA to watch a couple of games at Nandajai. But yeah, well, one of the other reasons was that he was also there to speak to Amin Dakhil from Burnley. So we'll talk about that in a second. Before that, though, I want to hear from Ali. Ali, tell me about the players you're excited for.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for players who, you know, are necessarily known and play in Europe. But I'd give, for sure, Kaadhim Raad, Qoua Al Jawiya centre-back, very smart player, very calm, collected. The goalkeeper, Hussein Hassan, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
And Ali Sadiq, I don't think Iraq has produced a player of his quality before, especially, you know, being from the Iraqi league. So yeah, those three.
Yeah, so you're seeing like names from all across the pitch. I think we just named about nine different players to the Carpool. So it just shows you the depth that is within this Iraqi squad. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird tournament. Only 21 players select for the squad, which meant quite a few players missed out, unfortunately. But yeah, that's all kicking off on the 22nd of May. So obviously not long left to go. And hopefully our boys will make us even more proud than they have done within their performances in the Asian Cup. So that kind of segues us into the discussion that I mentioned earlier regarding Amin Dakhil. Guys, I'll be honest with you, and I've got the podcast and the post to back up. I've mentioned all those players, the expats in Sweden and Norway and the UK, all of them I told, and Holland, from day one, I told you guys, don't worry, these guys are all going to represent Iraq. One player that I've never really been sure about is Amin. Adnan Dirjaj flew all the way to the UK. And met him, but I still don't know. There were rumors saying that he's declared. Then his agent came out and dismissed these rumors. Few other kind of spokesmen or spokespeople within the footballing world dismissed this. Although, to be honest with you, I had from a very fairly reliable source, someone close to the player, telling me the rumors are true that the player will declare for Iraq. And there was even on social media for about half a day where he removed the Belgian national team tag from his profile on Instagram, but that was quite quickly rectified and added again. So I'm not really sure with him anymore. I'd like to believe that my source is correct and he will be declaring, but I genuinely don't know. And I've not posted on Instagram what my source said because I want to be 100% certain about it before I say anything. It's a bit of a scary one. You guys think it's going to happen or no?
Adnan Dirjaj said with a high chance that Amin will represent Iraq, but he specifically mentioned the 2024 Asian Cup and the World Cup qualifier. So I think it will take some time for Amin to make a decision. And I think he's a very important piece to Casas's project, especially. He seems like he's very keen on like placing in the starting 11 straight away. So, it'll be tough to make him like fully declare. But
do you think he's good enough, or do you think it's likely that he'll get a chance to play for Belgium? Sorry.
If he keeps progressing at the rate he's going at right now, I think it's a matter of time, because I don't think the depth in that position for Belgium specifically is not it's not the strongest, and he's been promoted to the Premier League, consistent start with Burnley, so I think he'll eventually get the call up, but we'll see.
So what would you do in his book? Would you actually declare for Iraq, or would you wait, or would you be adamant that you just want to play for Belgium and that's it?
If I'm speaking from like my own perspective, I'd obviously choose Iraq, but I guess it's different for him because Belgium have offered him like all these opportunities, I think they do a under-21 European Championship tournament this summer, so I think he'd really want to play that as well. So
I think we say that but that we would want to play for Iraq and all that, but honestly, the truth is, unless you're in that situation, you don't really know. You don't know how you'd react. You don't know what would be in your best interest. So I think fans need to remember this and be a bit more careful in terms of what they have to say about the matter. Yesterday I posted about Noah Darwish and him being linked to Arsenal, Bayern Munich and PSG. He currently plays in for the Germany under 21 team, and he's doing very, very well with them. And then someone writing to me, oh, why are you posting about him? He's made it very clear he doesn't want to play for Iraq. Well, number one, no, he hasn't. We don't know that. You don't know what the player thinks. You don't know what the player says. Number two, even if he doesn't want to play for Iraq, he's still Iraqi. So we have to kind of respect that. We have to respect their choices. I think fans in football, not just Iraqi fans, but I think we are very guilty of it. But fans in general do become very, very emotional in how we respond to things. And I think we need to be a bit more mature in our approach and actually respect the players a little bit and give credit where it's due, you know? Like, he hasn't said no. Maybe let's assume that in the future he will be. So let's show them that kindness. Let's show them that support. Let's show them that love. Because you know what? The players that do end up declaring for Iraq, 99% of the ones I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot, they all say the same thing. It's the love that the fans showed them that convinced them that it's going to be the right decision for them to come and play for Iraq. 100%. And I've heard that for so many players. So many of them have said this to me. Not one or two. I'm talking 10, 15. So, yeah, be patient, Iraqi fans. And if it's written, these guys will come and play for us. The next thing I really want to discuss is the transfer window that's coming up. And we're going to start off with the Iraq Football Pod's player of the season, the most prestigious trophy any player can win. But, of course, I'm referring to Ali Hamadi, who had a terrific season for AFC Wimbledon in League Two. He's been linked with two clubs in the Championship that are, like, very heavily monitoring him. As to whether he's going to make that move or not, it remains to be seen. I want to hear from you two, though. We'll start off with Ali. Ali, do you think it would be a wise move for Al-Hamadi to leave Wimbledon, or should he stay there? Should he head to Bristol or Preston North End in the Championship? What would you do in his book?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. He's getting into them and he's scoring a lot of goals. I think that's the most important thing. So in that aspect, he probably, you know, might want another season with Wimbledon. However, opportunities like getting a contract from Championship side, you know, might come about again. Sometimes you just have to make that leap. And also, I'd have a look at the squad, see if I can break into the squad, see if I can get regular game time, even if it isn't every game. As long as you make an impact, especially in a league like Championship, you're going to be seen by even more people. It's a difficult one.
The thing is that you need to bear in mind, there's a few factors. I think three factors I've mentioned. Number one, Wimbledon have lost a lot of players this window. And I think a key thing is going to be, who do they bring in? Because, you know, last season, before they even lost these players, they were barely able to win any games. I think they lost something like 42 points from winning positions. So they are a capable team. They do know how to score. And Ali was a huge part of those goals. But they couldn't win by hook or by crook. They couldn't actually get 3 points. So it's going to be important to see who they bring in, number one. Number two, I think with the Asian Cup coming up, you know, if Ali joins Bristol, if he joins Preston North End or any other Championship team, he might very well find himself on the bench. And that season is going to start in when? Late August, September, October, November, December. It's 4 months. Is that enough time for him to find himself starting games regularly? Is he going to be match fit once the Asian Cups comes knocking in January? I don't know. It's a gamble. it's a risk. And number three, I think something he's going to have to consider as well. If he has another season under his belt and he does just as well as he did, if not better, you might get an even better deal if he's just a bit more patient. So I don't know. I think it's a tricky situation for him, and it's a tough decision that he needs to make. But I know the kid. I've known him, I think, for 5-6 years now, and he is so mature. He's so hardworking. He's so screwed on, and he's so ambitious that I'm sure he'll get other opportunities. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a one-off. Hopefully, other clubs come knocking if this one doesn't happen and he decides to stay at Wimbledon. But yeah, any final thoughts on Ali? What have you guys made of his season?
Oh, like, if you've seen, like, you've given the Wimbledon have given him the opportunity and he's delivered for them. Like, you can just see, like, what we could have. When he was with Wickham, he wasn't getting much game time, so we couldn't see what truly Ali could do. But like, Wimbledon giving him put their faith in him, and he's delivered for them. So,
I mean, you say that, yeah. At Wickham, they gave him 2 starts and he scored 1 goal. So even in those rare opportunities, he still managed to bag one.
Like no continuation. Like it was just they play him for a bit and then.
Yeah, he lacked consistency. But like I said, he's a solid guy. His head is screwed on, and I'm sure he'll get the decision right. Whether it's a move where he stays at Wimbledon, I don't know. Whatever happens, I hope he stays in London though. Bristol and quite far for me to go watch his games. What about Zidane? Zidane, obviously, he's another player that he's had a difficult season, unfortunately for him. I wanted him to go out on loan. He decided, he ended up staying at Manchester United, but didn't get any game time. I was hoping he'll be the first Iraqi player to make his debut in the Premier League. That might very well happen under Emin for Burnley next season. So if you are at United and you were Zidane Iqbal, do you stay or do you go out on loan? Mo, what do you think?
Well, I think the decision should be to go out on loan, because with Ten Hag, I don't see like many opportunities, like especially when you see this season, how even players like who weren't like particularly like ahead of him in the pecking order, like Kobbie Mainoo getting minutes. I just think it's very harsh on Zidane, what happened last season. And I don't think he'll benefit much if he stays.
You say that, but how many minutes has Mainoo actually got? He's barely played.
I think he's given him his like debut and stuff, like this season.
I think he gave him 1 or 2 games max. I think people have been talking about Ten Hag being very unfair, very this, very that. But if you think about the season United have had, there's not actually been the opportunities for Zidane to actually play. Just because every game has essentially been a World Cup final for us because of how terrible we've been the last couple of years. We managed to win the Carling Cup. I say we are a massive United fan, just to put this in the context for those listeners. But unfortunately, we still haven't secured top 4, and there's, what, 3 or 4 games left? 3 games left, I think. So every game's mattered throughout the season. We've been competing with Newcastle. At one point, we even looked like we were competing with Arsenal and City for the league. But that didn't last long. But my point is that those games really, really mattered. We were trying to actually get to the Europa League final. We lost to Sevilla, but again, we were taking those games seriously. It's not like we had any dead rubbers within the group stages. Even our qualification for the groups, they went to the final round. And then we had to play Barcelona in the qualifiers. And then we reached all the way to the final of the FA Cup. So again, like the games were stacked. There were no real dead rubber games where the manager can take a risk or can gamble and bring into that. So I think it's a bit harsh, the criticism people have kind of aimed at Ten Hag, especially the Iraqi fans who are ruthless. But is next season going to be any more likely that Zidane will play? I don't know. There are going to be some players leaving for sure. Possibly McTominay, possibly Van den Beek. But I also imagine the manager's going to want to maybe add some names to the squad. But then again, we look at what's happening right now. If the owners, the current Glazer family, don't sell United and they decide to stay, then United don't have any money to actually make any recruitments. And in that situation, we're going to be relying on Zidane and other youth players to actually make up numbers. But I don't think it's very clear cut. I think Zidane will really have to think about what he wants in the future. And he'll also have to think about where it is he wants to go. It's not about going anywhere and then sitting on the bench there, because that's not going to benefit him either. He's at the age now where he needs to be playing. And if he can get guaranteed playing time at United, then I'd argue he should stay. But if they can't make that promise to him, then he should be the first one out the door. But it's hard to get that decision right.
There were some, you know, a few games during the season where it just didn't make sense for Ten Hag not to play Zidane. I think it was, for example, against Nottingham Forest, the second leg of the League Cup. I think they were 3-0 up or something. Okay, if you don't start him, at least, you know, give him minutes off the bench. I don't think they're going to overturn a 3-0 lead. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Going out on loan probably would have been the best thing for him. But, you know, staying with the first squad, you know, does help you as well. But so many training sessions, you know, I think he's pretty much seen it all now. You know, he's seen match day experience. He's seen the team talks. He's seen the way that his manager wants the team to play. I just think the most important thing is game time. And hopefully he gets that next season, whether it is at United, which I doubt, because if you're saying they're going to sell a few players, surely they're going to buy, you know, get the replacements.
You say that, but yeah. United right now have no money. Like, the club is essentially, like, penniless. And if they are to buy players, it will be on the basis that they sell players. But the money that they're going to raise through sales won't be much. And they're trying to prioritise other areas. I think Harry Kane is Manchester United's top transfer target. And that's an easy 100 million transfer. So unless the takeover does happen, and, for example, a Qatari owner buys United, then they're going to invest money. But the way that's happening right now, it's very likely that's delayed and that goes in and past the summer into the new season, that whole takeover process. It is very likely that United go into the summer without their ownership being secured and with it being unclear who the real owners are. And in that case, I can't see us buying anyone.
So would you say Zidane's better staying in England if he went out on loan, or would it be better to venture out in Europe, like Netherlands or like France or something like that?
I personally think Netherlands or France would be a better deal for him. The reason being is that I could see him playing more games in those leagues. I think people don't realise how tough the Championship is. We're talking probably top 5 leagues in the world when we talk about the Championship. I was speaking to a player, I'm not going to mention who, but they were telling me that they think probably the Championship's even more competitive than the Premier League, because the standard of football is so high. But also, at least in the Premier League, there is a certain element of respect that players give each other. Whereas in the Championship, you have that added tenacity and added viciousness and the lack of respect the players have for each other, where they just chase each other continuously for 90 minutes and they're at each other's throats all the time. So not only is it technically tough, not only is it physically enduring, but also it's demanding in terms of, like, you're there for war, essentially. So going to the Championship's no joke. And if Zidane goes there, is he going to get guaranteed playing time or not? I don't know. It's a competitive league. And he's a young player who's not really played any first-team football other than for Iraq. And even then, It's barely been competitive games, a couple of friendlies here and there. And he's played, obviously, that one Champions League game. So I think more realistically, for him to go to Holland, France, maybe Portugal, those might be the better options or the better suitors. But that's just my thoughts. It's a good question, though. What do you think, Mo?
I'd think his play style especially suits a more like possession-based team. So Netherlands, Portugal, even like Italy. Like, I've seen loads of academy English footballers, like from top six teams, they go to Italy and they usually succeed. So I wouldn't think that's a bad option.
Germany too as well?
Yeah. Germany. You see players like Bellingham and Sancho, they went there, succeeded, came back to England. Like, I'd say it's not a bad option to venture out like these countries.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of Zidane Iqbal, by the way, it just occurred to me, we are doing a Zidane Iqbal shirt giveaway in case you listener are not aware of it. If you go to my Instagram right now or our Instagram, the Iraq Football Podcast, or you go to our Twitter or Facebook, find any of our accounts. The more accounts you actually comment on and interact with, the more likely you are to win. All you have to do is follow my page, follow the Zidane Iqbal's Instagram page, and make sure you tag three friends, either in the Instagram and Facebook comment section or in the TikTok comment section that we're also on, or at us on Twitter. And we will select one random winner to win the shirt, match worn and signed by Zidane himself. If I'm not mistaken, it's a Europa League shirt, although I will double check that. But yeah, that winner will be decided, I think, in about 1 or 2 weeks. So you guys better hurry up. But guys, I think we're going to leave that there. If you want the latest content, make sure you're following our Twitter. If you want regular interviews with footballers and me occasionally going on a live and sharing my thoughts as a podcast format, make sure you're following us on Instagram at Iraq Football Pod. Same thing for Twitter at Iraq Football Pod. We're also on Facebook, again, at Iraq Football Pod. And very recently, we've also joined TikTok. So, at Iraq Football Pod across all four platforms. Mo, thank you so much for your time. Any last words or thoughts?
No, it's been great. To be on here, share thoughts, and yeah, hopefully see a good Iraq team in the future.
Hopefully. We've got a lot of good games to look forward to within the next couple of weeks with the Shabab team in the World Cup of the 20s. Ali, final thoughts?
Yeah, there's always Iraqi football around. We've got the June camps, the Under-20 World Cup, the Under-23 Olympic team, West Asian Football Federation Championship hosted in Iraq. Obviously, September, October, November. There's games all the time. Exciting times. New coaching staff who seem well on it, enjoying life in Iraq, you know, really taking in the culture. Great team. I hope they continue. And yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, aren't we all? But guys, so much happening in the world of Iraqi football. If you want to keep up with the latest news, you want to keep up with the latest interviews, exclusives, you know where to find us. The Iraq Football Podcast. We're back, baby. We are back.